20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Day 8 of practice is already in the books, and we've got a lot to discuss from that practice. But before we get there, the interesting aspect of the day was a tweet from the Packers that confirmed some suspicions, and that is that the Packers are going all white uniforms with an all-white helmet. They are going white out for their special uniform for this season. No confirmation on what game they're going to be wearing it for. I know some people sort of expected that maybe it would be the Brazil game. I would personally doubt it. Remember that Philly is the home game for Brazil, or the home team for Brazil, and they have the choice of what jersey that they want to wear. And usually, if it's hot, the home team will choose to wear the white jersey so that they can be in the lighter color uniform. So my guess is that Philly will likely be using a white jersey or a lighter uniform, and Green Bay will wear a darker color uniform in Brazil. But I can't say that for sure. My guess is it's probably some other game, maybe Thanksgiving, Sunday or Thursday night football against the Lions. That could be one, but we'll have to wait and see. And here's just my quick take on the whole jersey discussion. The two jerseys they currently have, their white away jerseys, their green home jerseys, are perfect. They are absolutely amazing. I don't want to see anything changed on them whatsoever. They're iconic. They have great tradition. They're perfect. What I've always said, and what I will continue to say, if you want to do one to two jerseys a year, a throwback jersey or a whiteout jersey or anything like that, or even a complete alternative jersey, and you want to have fun with it, be my guest. If it's one or two games a year where there's a semi-alternate jersey or a throwback jersey, I just don't care. I mean that like not positive, not negative. I'm going to get to watch. We are now in a 17-game season. We will soon be in an 18-game season. Like I get to watch 16 games plus playoffs of my favorite team and the favorite jerseys and the best jerseys in the world. I'm cool. If you want to market another jersey in one game, again, be my guest. I didn't think I was really going to like the whiteout jerseys with the white helmets. My guess is I probably still would just prefer the normal. But the initial picture, they look pretty cool. I didn't have any major issue with them. But again, even if I did, even if I couldn't stand them, even if I hated them for one game, whatever. There have been some of the throwbacks I haven't liked, some of the throwbacks I have liked. I'm sure there's going to be some alternates in the future I don't like as well. I'm sure there's going to be some alternates that I do like. Same thing for you. And I don't really care all that much for the most part. As long as they keep their home and away the way that they are for the vast majority of the season, we're good. No worries whatsoever. These ones, so far, I think I can at least somewhat get on board with. If you haven't seen them yet, go check out Packers Twitter. It might be up on Packers.com as well. But again, white jerseys, white pants, white helmet. It will be a full whiteout combination. All right, injury update from Wednesday's practice. Today is Thursday. Marshawn Lloyd returned to team drills, so that was a good step for him. I am so excited to see more Marshawn Lloyd. So the sooner that he can get back to full speed and participate in even more team, I'd love to see him with the ones at some point. I'm not saying he should take, Josh Jacobs snaps or anything like that. I just want to see some reps with the ones for Marshawn Lloyd. I think he's super talented. Excited to see him back out there. New players who were out from practice on Wednesday: Carrington Valentine out with a hamstring injury. I know that H word, nobody wants to hear it. We just kind of want to ignore it. But unfortunately, it did happen. We did have a hamstring injury on Wednesday. And again, that is Carrington Valentine. Donovan Jennings was out with a knee injury. Remember, he started camp injured, then came back, and now is out injured again. Hopefully, it's nothing too serious. And then the big one, too, that we're keeping an eye on: Edgerrin Cooper left practice on Wednesday, went into the Hudson Center, came back out, pads were off, helmet was gone, and he did not return to practice. Don't know for sure what the injury is. We'll have to kind of wait and see. We should get an update from LaFleur on Thursday, but until that happens, as of right now, we don't have any answers, just questions, but Edgerrin Cooper did leave practice and did not return. Players who remained out: Tucker Kraft on the PUP list with the pec injury, Keyshawn Banks with a groin injury, and Deslin Alexander with a lower leg injury, which means your total injury by the end of the day, your count at the end of the day was Carrington Valentine with a hammy, Donovan Jennings with a knee, Edrian Cooper unknown, Tucker Kraft on the pup list with the pec, Keyshawn Banks with the groin, and Deslin Alexander with a lower leg injury. Tucker Kraft, meanwhile, Matt LaFleur did say is close, said that Tucker Kraft keeps bothering him to get back to practice, but he's not medically cleared yet. Just taking it a day at a time, but does sound like he's chomping at the bit to get back on the field. And like I said, Matt said, hopefully close sooner rather than later. Your starters for the day, Jordan Love at quarterback, Josh Jacobs at running back, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, and Christian Watson at wide receiver, Luke Musgrave at tight end, Rashid Walker at left tackle, Elgton Jenkins at left guard, Myers at center, Jordan Morgan once again at right guard, Kadeem Telford at right tackle, Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith were your defensive ends, TJ Slayton and Kenny Clark at defensive tackle, Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker at linebacker, Jair Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, and Eric Stokes at corner, with Anthony Johnson Jr. getting the nod next to Xavier McKinney. Really quick, and I probably have said this before, but I saw some tweets on it again on Wednesday. Your receivers as the starters were Wicks, Reed, and Watson. Two things I want to go over here. One, the entire starting lineup is to an extent like that's just the first play. And it's just kind of like it would be in a game, right? What is your starting lineup for that first play? Well, this is just the first play. All right. The second thing is that they rotate those receivers liberally. They are in and out, constant rotations, so much so that it's tough to glean quote unquote starters and any sort of rhythm to the rotation or anything like that. So I see people some days where it's like Wicks, Reed, and Watson, and they say, where's Romeo Dobbs? Why isn't he in that list? And then other days it'll be like Dobbs, Reed, and Watson. People will be like, where's Dontavian Wicks? And then some days it's like Wicks in you know, who knows, right? But like there's always in a three wide receiver set, somebody who is going to be missing. And a lot of times, like we're going to see this season, it is going to be based on what that individual play calls for. And if that individual play is a play that works really well with Wicks and Reed and Watson, then Wicks, Reed, and Watson are going to be in the game. And there's going to be times where it's Dobbs. And like I said, they're just going to rotate those guys around a ton. So do not read anything into the wide receiver rotation. Now, if tomorrow I tell you the starting receivers were Watson, Dobbs, and Grant Dubose, all right, we have a little bit of a different conversation. That's a little bit more interesting. But any combination of Watson, Reed, Wicks, Dobbs, and I would honestly even put Bo Melton in there to some extent. It wouldn't even shock me if Malik Heath. I honestly wouldn't even be super shocked if Grant Dubose got into some of those just because they rotate those guys so insanely much. So when you see the starting lineup, especially at wide receiver, don't glean too much into it. It's just that first snap and who is on the field. And like I said, every single play this season that they are either in 11, if they're in 11 personnel, meaning three wide receivers, one of those guys is going to be out, one of those top four. And if there's only two wide receivers on the field, two of those guys are going to be out. It's just the way that it's going to be because they have ridiculous depth at wide receiver. Speaking of the offensive line and sort of the overall depth chart, I think we're starting to settle in to a starting offensive line, to a best five. It sincerely looks like Rashid Walker is just going to be the left tackle. And Jordan Love sort of echoed those sentiments and said that Rashid has really done a great job at left tackle. He really came into his own the second half of last season and had a lot of positive things to say about Rashid. We have not seen any real competition at that spot, which makes me extremely happy. I've said all along, I believe Rashid is one of the top five offensive linemen. In fact, I think he's the third best offensive lineman. I think it's Zach Tom, Elgton Jenkins, then Rashid Walker, and then it starts becoming more of a conversation after that. But to me, Rashid has been number three, and now he is in all likelihood your starter at left tackle. Elgton looks like the certified starter at left guard. It looks like Josh Myers is very much going to be your starting center. And when Zach Tom gets back, he's going to be the starter at right tackle. The only question mark remains Jordan Morgan or Sean Ryan. And it certainly seems like they want to give Jordan Morgan every opportunity to win that job. So my guess right now is that's going to be your starting lineup against Philadelphia. One of my, I think, predictions right before camp was that they would solidify this offensive line sooner than people think. It seems to be getting to that point. Now, maybe they start rotating things around again. Who knows? But right now, if I were betting today, would very much expect Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Morgan, and Zach Tom, assuming they're all healthy, to be your starters week one against the Eagles. All right, let's talk about Jordan Love's day. A little bit of an up and down day, but there's a lot of positives that I take away from it. And I'm really not concerned about any of the negatives. We'll talk about the two-minute drill in just a moment, but Jordan Love led his team right down the field for a touchdown and a two-point conversion, showed off the arm talent, showed off escapability, showed the ability to read defenses and have that improvisational ability. We saw all of that. He did have an interception on the day to Xavier McKinney, tried to throw Xavier McKinney a pick on Tuesday, but McKinney dropped it. He did not do Jordan Love any favors by dropping it on Wednesday and did pick it off. Really nice play by Xavier McKinney. Jordan Love basically said he just didn't see him. He had an impressive throw to Jaden Reed in that two-minute drill, a play where Reed said he did not run the right route. And he had to basically ad lib after that, and Love did a great job of buying time. The offensive line did a great job of giving him that time, but Love rolls to his left and lofts one down the field. I think it may have been a little bit better if he let him a little bit more instead of maybe giving him sort of the lollipop jump ball pass, but he saw Reed was open. He got it to him, gave it to him in a point where he could go up and get the ball. Reed did exactly that. His helmet comes off, falls down. It was actually sort of scary seeing it live because the helmet came down and then Reed's head came down. And I was actually sort of worried that Reed's head was going to hit right against the helmet that just landed like the right side up. And I was somewhat worried he was going to land right on his helmet. It was really scary for a second there, but thankfully he avoided the helmet. He collided hard with the ground, but got right back up. But that was a really nice ad lib play by Love to lead him, or at least give him that jump ball pass and let Reed, go up and get it. Big time completion down the field in the 2 minute drill. He had a really nice deep ball to Dontavian Wicks. Maybe it was a hair too far, but I actually thought it was a really great ball. When I watched it, it felt to me like Wicks just didn't get he got his head back, but just didn't locate the ball. And as he located the ball, it was literally like at his fingertips. And then he goes off of his fingertips. He bobbles it, then sort of corrals it in as he's tumbling down. But the ball comes out and he cannot survive the ground and make the catch. So it ended up being an incomplete pass. But I actually thought it was a really great read and a great throw by Jordan. He did have a play where he was rolling to his right and Musgrave was wide open to the right for probably what would have been maybe a 20, 25 yard completion. And Love did miss that one. So that's one I'm sure he'd like to have back. But then he had a beautiful 40 yard throw down the field in stride to Christian Watson for another explosive play between those two players. And he hit Wicks in stride over the middle to start team periods as well. So a lot of really positive throws from Jordan. Did have the interception, the overthrow to Luke Musgrave, some things I'm sure he wants to get cleaned up. But the real positive for me has been the deep ball. The deep ball looks much better, much more crisp, better spiral, enough air under it. He's throwing it with confidence. And I think if he can continue to do that, that will be a really big step for Jordan in his development and making that deep ball much more consistent. It was better at the end of last year, but he really struggled with it early. And now if he can take that step and those plays become a little bit more, I don't want to say automatic, but he's hitting them with more consistency, that's going to be a huge win for Love and a huge win for the offense. So no concerns. It does feel like this offense is still hitting the stage where they're trying to get in rhythm a little bit more. I think Love missing those first few days probably set the offense back just a little bit. Nothing that's going to concern you by the time they get into season, but just it takes time to get into the rhythm with your wide receivers, the offensive line, the quarterback, everyone working in tandem. They're still in that phase right now because Jordan's still getting, his feet wet in those first 4 days in the offense, but I expect Love and the offense to take off even more in the coming days. But as of right now, up and down, but no concerns. And in fact, I think far more positives than negatives at this point for Jordan. Let's talk about those two-minute drills, starting with the number twos. A minute 40 left, down by 7, no timeouts, ball on their own 35, first and 10. On the very first play, this is the twos now, Sean Clifford gets sacked by Kingsley Enagbare and LVN. They combine on the sack. LVN, again, third straight day of having at least a couple impressive plays here and there. Enagbare continues to impress as well. They combine for the sack. Second play, incomplete to Malik Heath. Third play was a false start by Kadeem Telford, but the play continued and he threw it, Sean Clifford threw it directly to a dropping Colby Wooden in coverage, a la BJ Raji in the NFC Championship game. Wooden pretends he's going to rush, drops back, middle of the field. Clifford doesn't see Wooden. Wooden's got the opportunity to pick it off, be the hero, and he just drops it. And that's why Colby Wooden is a defensive tackle and not a wide receiver or a tight end. But would have been a huge pick for some reason. Remember, there was the false start and then the drop pick that was third down. They replayed the entire down. I don't know if there was offsetting penalties to some extent or they just redid it. It seemed more like they just redid it, but they replayed third down. It goes from Clifford to Melton for a handful, but they do not pick up the first down. The clock ticks, which leads to a fourth down play. It's a check down to Marshawn Lloyd. Robert Rochelle was all over it, and the defense won that drive easily, despite the offense, for some reason, getting an extra play. Paul Bredel joked that the Packers failed on fifth down to get the first down, which was very much true. But a huge sack by Elvian and Enagbare to start it off really doomed that two-minute drill before it even started. All right, let's go over the number ones and their two-minute drill. Same situation, minute 40 left, down by seven, no timeouts, ball on their own 35, first and 10, swing pass to Josh Jacobs, clock ticks, picked up about 3 yards, complete to Dontavian Wicks over the middle for a few yards, clock ticks again, Nixon was all over that one. Next one, another swing pass to Jacobs, picks up a few, first down, but the clock continues to tick. This one was close. I think had there been tackling, we would have had a play at or maybe even behind the line of scrimmage, but they give Josh Jacobs the momentum or the forward progress. He gets the first down, but like I said, clock ticks, continues to run. Then here's where we get that jump ball play to Jaden Reed that I talked about in Love's Day. Rolls out, buys time, good job by the offensive line. Lollipops one up to Jaden Reed. He goes up and gets it. Now, Keyshawn Nixon lays on top of Jaden Reed after the play to let that clock keep ticking for a while. I think it was egregious enough where if I were refereeing it and in an NFL game, I think there might've been a delay of game penalty there on Nixon, just because of how long he laid on him and would not get off of him. There was no penalty in this particular play, so he got away with it. But it was a big time play by Love to Jaden Reed, picked up over 20 yards. And then the immediate play after that was a spike to stop the clock. They made good progress, but they were now down to 27 seconds on the clock. The ball was now on the opposing 33-yard line. It was second and 10, still no timeouts. Love hit another swing pass, or actually attempted a swing pass to A.J. Dillon. Got lucky that it was incomplete, because this was one of those that Love probably should have just thrown into the ground or thrown away in some capacity. The worst thing that could have happened there for the offense was that Love completed that pass to Dillon, because the defense was going to be all over it. They probably would have lost a yard on the play, and that 27 seconds probably would have went down to like 10 seconds, probably would have been like third and 11. I don't know if they really would have wanted to clock it to go to fourth down. So it would have been a nightmare, I think, for the offense in that situation. But thankfully for the offense, unlucky for the defense, the ball falls incomplete. Dillon can't come up with it. Maybe he knew and didn't go for it, fully, but either way, it was a good thing that that pass was incomplete from an offensive point of view. On the very next play, which would have been third down, it looked to me like Gary would have potentially had a sack on the play. Jordan Love escaped it. We'll just say and go along with it that he escaped it. They did not call him down. I will say this, in the two-minute periods, in the competitive periods, if there's a clear sack, they will usually call them down on the play and keep it competitive. I still think Rashawn would have got there. Either way, they let the play go on. Jordan rolls out, doesn't see anyone downfield, takes off, scrambles, picks up 22 yards on the play and a first down and gets out of bounds. So now you're talking about ball in the 11-yard line, 13 seconds left, first and 10, no timeouts. Love drops back to pass, really great route combo. Dontavian Wicks, great route, gets open in the back of the end zone. Love rifles it in. Anthony Johnson Jr. in coverage really had no opportunity to make a play on the ball. Just a beautiful route concept, route and throw by Jordan Love for a touchdown, but they weren't done there. They decided to go for two. Good pressure by LVN and the defensive front. I don't really think there was a holding, but there was definitely some battling going on there. Love continued to backpedal until he saw Wicks break open, hit him in the back of the end zone in almost the identical spot where he caught the touchdown. Wicks hangs on, two-point conversion is good, and the offense picks up a win. I think some good things for the offense, some good things for the defense. Loved overall that the offense was able to drive down and score the touchdown. Think the play on third down and the swing pass, the potential sack by Gary. There's some things there that I think the defense will take away, but there definitely are some learning points for both sides as well. All right, next up, let's talk about Jaire Alexander versus Romeo Doubs. This has been a talking point over the last couple of days of how great Romeo Doubs has looked and how Jaire Alexander has not been able to stop him in the one-on-ones. So clearly, there's something wrong with Ja, right? Like, he's not his old self, and he's not... You guys know, for those of you who've been here long enough, I was very critical of Ja last year, specifically the way that he played, the way that he handled some of the situations. I didn't think we saw anywhere near All-Pro or Pro Bowl caliber Ja last year. Not to say he was bad. I still had a positive grade on him, but nowhere near the Ja that we're used to. In camp so far, I love the Ja that we're seeing. He looks focused. He looks intense. He looks like he's doing all the right things. One-on-ones are made for the offense. Like, there is inherent advantages for the wide receiver on those plays. I don't really necessarily care all that much if Ja gives up any completions in those one-on-ones. Romeo's look great. Really great routes, really great releases, great physicality, great hands. He's showing off all of it. But the one-on-ones are more, to me, a hat tip to Romeo Doubs and what he's doing than anything that Ja is doing wrong. There's maybe one play where Ja bit outside and Doubs crossed him over. This was a couple days ago, and it was a pretty easy catch for Doubs. It was a very easy catch for Doubs. But outside of that, there have been a few plays where Ja's had great coverage, and Doubs just made a play anyway. And there's one specifically, I think it was on Wednesday. I think I'm getting my days a little confused here, but where Ja had blanket coverage, and just at the very last millisecond, Doubs separates ever so slightly. The ball's thrown outside. He plucks the ball out of the air, makes a very difficult catch. And yeah, Doubs wins the route, but my goodness, Ja could not have had much better coverage on the play. He was fantastic. So to me, much more a compliment to Doubs than anything Ja's really doing wrong. And Ja's been great in team drills so far. And I'm not going to say he's been a shutdown corner, but he's looked really, really good and much better to me in camp this year than what we saw last year on film, which again, still not bad, just not the level that I think we're accustomed to seeing Ja play at. And to me, he's refocused, re-energized, and looks really, really good in camp so far. I want to touch base on two of the running backs as well, A.J. Dillon and Josh Jacobs. A.J. Dillon, I thought, had another really nice day. He had a play, stretch play to the left, where he gets outside and beats Edrian Cooper around the corner for a big pickup. My guess, 15, 20 yards on the run. That was a really nice play. And then another one where he does a little stutter step to his left or a little jump cut to his left. And these are plays where usually in the past, Dillon puts his head down, runs into the line, and ends up getting nothing. And instead, jump cut to the left, foot in the dirt, accelerate upfield, gets 5 yards out of the play. And those are the differences between, you know, 0 and 1 yard gains and 4 to 5 yard gains. And if he can get some of those big plays to the outside, you know, on that stretch play like we saw, adding some more dynamic playmaking ability to AJ Dillon's game is going to go a huge way in making him a better player. So you're talking now about having some dynamic playmaking ability and getting some big chunk plays and, you know, avoiding those 1 to 2 or 0 yard plays and turning them into 4 to 5 yard gains. Those things can pay huge dividends throughout the course of the season. It has been a great start to camp for AJ Dillon. And then Josh Jacobs, two really nice runs on the day. One where he navigated the middle of the field, got to the outside, bounced it out, got upfield, showed off some acceleration, showed off some burst. I think they only gave him like a 3 or 4 yard run on the play, but I think Jacobs would have had that one. I just like these last couple days after me putting him on the, you know, sell list the other day, we're starting to see Josh Jacobs pick it up and start making more of these plays with a little bit more consistency. And that certainly has me, and I think the fans in the stands, a lot more excited. Another player, Quay Walker. Quay looks comfortable at middle linebacker. I don't think in the last 2 years, Quay looked very comfortable. He looked like he was thinking. He looked like he was always stuck between what he should do, what he shouldn't do, and not just reading, reacting, and making a play. In camp, I've seen Quay read, react, make a play. There's a great play today. Screen pass to the outside, and Quay just from middle linebacker screams down the line. I think it was Josh Jacobs and meets Jacobs right at the line of scrimmage. And those are the sort of things that we are seeing from Quay. He is just flying to the football. Less thinking, more doing, more instincts, more flying. And that's exactly what you want from Quay. We have seen that. He's been the consistent linebacker in base, nickel, and in dime. I see that continuing. I think we're seeing a jump from Quay. How big of a jump that is, how good he can be in the regular season, TBD, but I like what I'm seeing in camp so far from Quay. Speaking of Kingsley Enagbare from earlier, where he had that sack in the two-minute drill, that was a huge play. He also had a batted down pass in practice as well. A little bit under the radar, but Enagbare having a very nice camp. I love this rotation. Preston's been a little quiet, but Rashawn's been great. Enagbare's been really good. LVN's been making some noise as of late. I think this is going to be a very good edge rusher rotation, playing in the 4-3, hand in the dirt, and allowing those guys to go get after the quarterback. It's looked good so far. Enagbare, nice start to camp as well. And then finally here, we're starting to see a little bit now that Jordan Love is back, some of the weaknesses of this Jeff Hafley defense playing with that extra safety in the box. Two things in particular, and by the way, neither of these should be a surprise, but the deep crossing routes we've seen over the last few days, Jordan Love hitting on a lot of those deep crossers, and then deep balls down the field, the big plays to Christian Watson. Those are big plays that we're seeing, and those are the type of plays that this defense can give up, that you're designing big-time offensive plays against and drawing up those type of plays against single high safety and an extra safety in the box and some more man-to-man coverage. You're going to play that style. You're giving up the outsides, and you have the ability to get some of those deep crossers, especially if you're doing double crossers. Safety goes one way, you can hit the other. It's just receivers running away from corners and man-to-man coverage, and you can hit on those. And we've seen that these last few days. Now, again, that's not to be unexpected. And that's where I say, when sometimes you have to tip your cap to the offense, they're going to make some big plays like that. And this defense is going to give it up. But in the meantime, they're going to get a lot of sacks. They're going to get turnovers. They're going to stop the run better. Those are the things that are going to pay off, I think, in the long run. But we are starting to see the offense scheme up some of those plays against this defense and have a bit more success. Some miscellaneous plays. Robert Rochelle, really nice play in punt coverage. Eric Stokes tried to jam him. Rochelle got right off of it, got downfield, and would have made the stop on the punt team had there been tackling. Daniel Whalen, beautiful job punting. And he got some compliments from Rich Bisacci and Matt LaFleur lately. He had two punts, one where he had huge hang time down in the red zone. Bo Melton's the gunner. He gets down under it and catches it downed at the 5-yard line. And then another one that bounced right around the 10 and then stopped like on a dime and stopped right at the 10-yard line. So he's getting better in those red zone punts. The leg looks great. The hang time looks awesome. He's done a really nice job. Grant Dubose had a couple big plays, had a free play that resulted in probably like a 30-yard completion where he went up and out-jumped Zane Anderson on the play. Really big play for him. And then another deep crosser that he connected on later in practice as well. Did have a drop with the ones that would have been maybe like a 3-yard completion, even if he caught it. But the two big plays certainly outweighed that one minor drop. Xavier McKinney, as mentioned, came up with a big interception in practice. Christian Watson deserves credit for that 40-yard completion downfield. He remains that big-time deep threat and somebody that you have to kind of constantly remain cognizant of. Javon Bullard got a lot of time in the slot in practice, and Keyshawn Nixon got a lot of time at outside corner. So I think they're just cross-training both those guys, getting Nixon some time on the outside, getting Bullard some time in the slot. Still expect Nixon to be the primary slot corner, but they continue to work Bullard in some of those situations as well. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mosey to Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brandon Pallotta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, and Dan Guestford. That's going to do it for me today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.